This is Project 60. Good evening. This is Clyde McLean, inviting you to join us for WBT's Project 60, a project devoted to developing better standards in creative radio. Project 60 is heard for 60 minutes, from 8 until 9 p.m., each weeknight from WBT Radio in Charlotte, North Carolina. Last night on Project 60, we presented part one of a program on the music of Alec Wilder, one of America's most gifted and versatile composers. His works include operas, symphony, children's songs, motion picture soundtracks, musical comedy, chamber music, and popular songs. We heard a sampling of Wilder's compositions, which for many years have been a source of inspiration to many of America's greatest musicians and singers. No other serious composer has so well integrated the jazz idiom as Alec Wilder does. For example, in his piece called Tacit for Neurotic. Wilder has written beautiful showpieces for solo instruments like his Air for Clarinet. And he has written songs that a 4-year-old child can learn to sing.
It's supper time in the barnyard and all the animals are hungry. But where is Farmer Jones? The cat wants her milk. The dog begs for meat. The fat pig is hungry. The duck wants to eat. But where is Farmer Jones?
Here I am. Was someone calling me? Be patient, all my hungry friends. I've got your feed for you.
Oats for the horse's grain, for the cow bones, for the dog when he says bow wow. Corn for the chicken's mush, for the pigs. Turkey, barley, for the duck, rooster comes a-running with his cluck, cluck, cluck. Oats for the horse's hay, grain and bones.
He's fed all his animals, now who'll feed Farmer Jones?
Well, this kind of versatility without the talent being spread thin is rarely seen. Then what about Alec Wilder, the man?
To be perfectly honest with you, the character-like elements of the stories that have gone on about me, I'm a little sick of them because I'm a little sick of having a story hung on the premise that I'm a nut. Because I am not a nut. I'm a fairly bright man who has a few eccentricities, but I'm not a raving maniac, you know. And I know that in the old days when they used to write stories on me, I'd see that glow come into the interviewer's eye when I said that I would, you know, prefer to eat standing on my head or something, which was ridiculous to begin with. But anything that they could hang the story on which made me an oddity made the story easier for them. And I have spent quite a number of years trying to assume a degree of dignity, and I don't want to be a character anymore. Whether it's true or not, I don't think it's half as true as they'd like to have it. I'm too old to be a character.
While there are many myths and legends concerning the eccentricities of Alec Wilder, his music, if nothing else, is able to debunk these myths. His is not the music of a character. It is music that shows an awareness of the best things in life. His sense of humor is evident in the voice tracks you've heard during this series. He may be cynical, but in this age of the dilettante and the aesthete and the resultant mediocrity, this is a perfectly normal and welcome protest. Would there were more cynics like Alec Wilder. Among the admirers of Alec Wilder the man is Eddie Sauter, arranger and composer. Sauter has said that some of his most pleasant hours were those spent with Alec Wilder as he talked about life. We asked Mr. Wilder about some of the people who had been an influence in his own life.
Mitchell Miller at one time was an enormous influence on my life, but since his career has become so, you know, tremendous, I can't blame him. There's no time in his life left for the kind of thing that he was able to give me once.
Here is Alec Wilder's composition called Air for English Horn, featuring Mitch Miller, and recorded in the days before Miller got caught up in the commercialization tempo. And when we asked Alec Wilder to name the person who had been the biggest influence in his career, he said,
John Barrows. Probably the greatest horn player in the world, although he'd never admitted himself. He's kept me writing when I wanted to quit. He's believed in me when I thought I didn't have anything, and I show him everything I write, and anything that he tells me is wrong, I accept. He knows. He's a musicologist. He's a great instrumentalist. He's a composer who should compose about 90% more than he does. Mitchell is an extremely fine musician, but as I say, this is something else. John is still dedicated, like he plays in Puerto Rico. You know, you don't make much money doing that, but he goes where the music is happening. He's the French horn player in the New York Woodwind Quintet, which doesn't make him money. It actually loses him money because the work he could otherwise do would make him more. But he believes and believes and believes in this form of expression. So I'm very fortunate to have a guy like him champion me, you know. He's the guy. I can't tell you anybody who's, you know, more important to me.
And here's a portion from Suite for Horn and Piano, written for and recorded by John Barrows and his French horn.
Thank you.
We had read somewhere that Alec Wilder at one time studied with Howard Hanson for several years at the Eastman School of Music. And we asked him about Mr. Hanson.
Oh, dear, that's the wrong name. The wrong name. No, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I've known this man for over 30 years, and I just frankly can't say a positive thing. I don't know how conscious he is of his own negativeness, but not for me. And the strange thing is that now that I'm getting a tiny little bit of recognition, they are claiming me as one of their alumni, and I never even studied in the place except privately with a couple of people. A counterpoint teacher, thank God, by the name of Herbert Inch, and a few months with an alleged composition teacher who taught me nothing. And I tried to study piano a little bit, but was much too impatient for it, but never was a part of the curriculum, and hung around there for a number of years, and as I say, picked up some counterpoint, and tried to study with Hanson for maybe, I don't know whether it was once a week for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and I knew about the Greek modes, and that's about all he talked about, so I didn't get anything there either. In other words, I might go so far as to say that I'm a self-made man. It's taken about 40 years, but it's not exactly a shortcut, but I'm amused that they're suddenly finding that it's all right to allow me in their halls again. You know, I don't have to skulk through with my collar up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I didn't attend their glorious classes.
Mr. Wilder, we also read that while you were starting to write music, you spent a lot of time in Greenwich Village.
Spent a lot of time in the village? Well, I think it's a lot more friendly below 14th Street than above, but I wouldn't specifically say spent a lot of time in the village. The people I know there I go to see, but not spend a lot of time in the village.
It would not appear to matter where Alec Wilder has spent a lot of time. He seems able to transport himself just about any place he wants to go or write about. For example, New England and its way of life before Alec Wilder was even born. Here from the soundtrack of the film, Grandma Moses, are several pieces written in collaboration with Hugh Martin.
Thank you.
Sometimes Alec Wilder writes what may come to be known as folk music in another century. From an album called Songs for Patricia, here's a ballad entitled Did You Ever Cross Over to Sneedon's? Alec Wilder also wrote the lyric, and Shannon Bolan sings it.
Did you go to the school by the river? Did you spend all your young days there? Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's with the setting sun blessing your hair? Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's where the white houses cling to the hill? Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's? Do you think that you ever will? All the wide branching elms then were saplings, and the soft rolling land did sleep, and the silent stream flowed in contentment, and it seemed a man never could weep. Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's, where the white houses cling to the hill? Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's? Do you think that you ever? A dream in remembrance. Can you see now the frock you wore on the day that you started for Sneedon's from that strangely still faraway shore? Long I waited that day by the river. Long I waited, my heart beat fast. Long I planned what I'd say when you landed, and I waited till it be night. Daylight had passed. I am still living over at Sneedon, and I still walk along the shore, and I gaze at the elms across river, and I know that I'll see you no more. Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's where the white houses cling to the hill? Did you ever cross over to Sneedon's? Do you think that you ever will?
The last recorded work of Alec Wilder is the soundtrack from the motion picture The Sandcastle. Mr. Wilder, if we can believe the album notes, it seems you not only wrote and orchestrated the score, but contributed much in ideas and words for the film.
Well, I've been his consultant, really, to Jerome Hill. It's all his baby, but he's been very sweet about constantly asking my opinion about the development of it and the cutting of it and the attitude to take toward narration and dialogue and everything. And I'm very complimented that he should care that much, but I certainly wouldn't claim anything more than a kind of a friendly consultant position in it.
Here's a portion of the Sandcastle score called Lonely Seascape.
Thank you.
and another track which is called Incantation. This brings us up to date with samples from your overwhelming catalog of material, Mr. Wilder. What are you planning to do next?
Oh, Lordy Lou, I can't tell you except that I'm hoping to do a new opera with William Engvik when he gets his libretto finished. A marvelous idea. Heaven knows where it'll be produced, but by golly, we'll write it. Or I'll get the big whip out. However, I don't know. I just want to keep writing, because when I don't write, I'm miserable, and when I write, I'm not, even if it doesn't turn out well. I'm writing all kinds of sonatas, chamber music pieces. I wrote a big piece for the Frederick Fennell, that woodwind ensemble that he has in Rochester that records for Mercury. A tremendous group of musicians. I just did a big piece for him, a five-moment piece, which I believe he's recording for Mercury in the fall.
We've done quite a bit of his work on this show. It's very fine.
Well, it's a marvelous group, and he's a wonderful guy to, you know, ask me to write a piece and to take such good care of it. And I do all kinds of cuckoo things. I wrote a piece for 19 trombones. That makes me a character, I suppose. Oh, I don't know, anything that feels right to me. I'm writing a whole bunch of pieces for intermediate ages for piano pieces, because I feel that there aren't enough good teaching piano pieces around outside of the microcosmos of Bartok's, and so I can't get up to equal that, but at least I can try to make some interesting pieces, and so I'm writing hundreds of those for like second to fourth year, short little pieces, but some of them kind of interesting. Anything at all. Popular music, I don't know, because when I write a tune, it sits there. What do you going to do with it?
Well, we feel sure that discriminating artists in the popular field will be happy to give exposure to to anything that Alec Wilder should care to write. And the public is grateful when they discover a new Alec Wilder song, which is what we did when we heard Jenny Smith's recording of Love Among the Young.
I'll kiss you, but I warn you, in the ways of love, I'm unwise. If this makes me young in your eyes, don't laugh. Just such a dear and precious thing, such a love I bring to you. Since this is my heart's first affair, give it time, give it care, for love. It's such a deep and lasting love, wonderful once it takes hold, 'cause love among the young never grows old. Last
night and tonight, Project 60 has brought you a cross-section of Alec Wilder music. At this point, the critic would try to summarize and possibly categorize the music of the composer. In the case of Alec Wilder, this is impossible. Many critics have tried to give his music some sort of special classification. Often, they wound up confusing everybody, including themselves. Album liners, for example, sometimes serve a critic as a literary springboard to display a high-flown analysis. And often, nobody is more surprised at what he reads than the subject of the critique. We may read a poetic description on the back of an album to help produce a visual image while listening to the White Peacock. But suppose Griffiths decided to rename his composition and call it The Black Swan. Then where would the critic be? Up Virgil Thompson's creek. So we would prefer to join the ranks of the less specialized critics who have said, why try to pigeonhole Alec Wilder? As Samuel Barron wrote, many critics complain about Alec Wilder because they can't pin him down to one medium or style. Does he write serious music or does he write popular music? Does he write jazz? Well, the answer is yes, at times. Try to put him into any one pigeonhole, and he laps over on both sides, unquote. If we could slightly elevate the true definition of Americana, we would say this classification belongs to Alec Wilder. He has written about the American way of life, without knocking us over the head by suddenly hoisting the Star Spangled Banner. His music is like a 4th of July picnic, when we're young and our eyes are bigger than our stomach, and later, when we reach an age, we say, "The doctor says, I can't eat ham." This is music for Americans of all ages and tastes. And more than that, it's the music of Alec Wilder. Our particular thanks on behalf of Project 60 to Columbia Records for arranging the telephone interview with Alec Wilder. This personality portrait, written and produced by WBT Music Director Lunis McGlawin. Now, until tomorrow evening at 8, this is Clyde McLean speaking for Project 60, saying good evening.